just for a little bit, and then I've got something that the Lord's kind of laid on my heart, and if the Lord was it just allow me to, I'll preach it to you. But a little bit of background for last week's sermon from the last chapter. There's a portion of the chapter that there was some problems that when the Apostle Paul was preaching, and some of the silversmiths had got a little upset with him because he was drawing people away from the goddess Diana, and they were telling everybody that, you know, this is our living, you know, and it's being put in jeopardy. And so is this man that's preaching this Jesus is starting to pull people away from us, and so, you know, our work is in jeopardy. So it goes on, and there was quite an uproar, and there was quite a problem that was in the city. But it goes on in chapter 20, and it reads this way. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them, and departed for to Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. And there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, he was about to sail into Syria, but he purposed to return through Macedonia. And accompanied with him into Sopater of Berea and the Thessalonians. And of the Thessalonians, praise the Lord, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius and Derbe and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. And these going before him tarried for us at Troas, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto Troas for 5 days, and there abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, even the disciples came together to break bread. And Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech till midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber, and there were gathered to where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain man, young man named Eutychus. Yeah, I know. I'm thinking it too. Being fallen into a deep sleep, Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep, and he fell down from the third loft, and he was taken up dead. And Paul went down, and he fell on him, and he was embracing him, and said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." And he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread, and had eaten and talked for a long while, even until the break of day. So he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and they were not a little comforted. Praise the Lord. It was quite some night. The Apostle Paul, preaching like a house on fire. But it said Paul's long preaching, that this young man by the name of Eutychus was sitting there in the window. And this morning, Brother Gary, I had this together yesterday, and I was thinking about it because my wife had got me up at early 30, and we headed for Milwaukee and went to the airport to take her sister and my niece and to drop them off, and I had to pull myself up in the middle of the seat because I was just doing. Have you ever did that in church? Does anybody? No, I'm just me. Just me. I know it. It was just me. I know it, and I'm weird. So I have seen other folks that I've caught just the whites of their eyes at times. So I know and understand that it does happen. But you know, late at night and midnight, you know, and they've probably been going all day long, and you have to realize that it just wasn't, you know, an hour and a half meeting and it was over with. But it was a long meeting, and Paul preached for a while. And as this young man sat there, and he sunk down in sleep. And Brother Bill White used to sink down into sleep, but he'd raise up and say amen when in the right spot. But as this young man sunk down into sleep, he sat in the window, and he fell backwards. Three stories. Three stories. I've seen men fall two stories before, but it probably wasn't like this, because they had high ceilings on all of them, and it was probably I'm just guessing, I'm giving you a guess. He probably fell 30 to 35 feet down to the ground, the hard ground, probably right on top of his head. And when he hit the ground, he was taken up dead. That was it. There was no life. There was nothing there. But the Apostle Paul fell on him, and he began to pray. It reminded me of Brother Terman that jumped on top of Brother Bill Snyder when he had a heart attack and fell down dead in the middle of the church. And he said, "Nah, hang on, the spirit hasn't left him yet." Now, the title of my message tonight is Stay Awake. Stay Awake. Look at your neighbor. Say, hey, you, stay awake. Stay awake. If you got there close enough, just jab them in the shoulder and say, hey, stay awake. Keep your eyes open. Don't fall asleep in church. That's not what I mean. That's not what I mean at all. Because, you know, you come in from a hard day, weeks of work, and brother, Joel would let you fall asleep in church. He didn't mind at all, because he worked for a living and he knew what it's like. But what I'm saying is, don't fall asleep spiritually. That's the thing. Don't fall asleep spiritually. I know that I wrote this down, and I'm going to read it to you like I wrote it. It says, though our walk may be long and sometimes dull, don't fall asleep. Don't let the enemy steal what you have fought long and hard for, and that which God has so freely blessed us with. And it is easy to be lulled asleep spiritually. If you don't allow yourself to get into the Word, and you keep yourself from prayer, and you the duty that God has placed in your life and in my life and all of our lives, if you don't follow after these things spiritually, sometime you're going to find yourself falling asleep. And when you begin to fall asleep like that and start to take them spiritual naps, my goodness, it becomes easy to stay away from church. And then when it becomes easy to stay away from church, and you fall asleep like that, folks, it'll be easy for you to let go of the vow that you made before God. It will be easy for you to step away from it, because gradually, the enemy will pull you away from it. It's like going on a diet. If you stick with it, your stomach will shrink. Don't look at me, because my stomach ain't shrunk. It's going like, yeah, I'm Superman. But if you begin to pull back from that way of life that you know, the godly walk that you know about, and that you've been living in soon, and soon you can get pulled away from it. And Lord, forgive me. I don't want to go there. I think that it's this last two weeks that we've been gone. Well, we had good reason. We love you all, and so we didn't want anything to happen to anybody here, especially with the wedding coming up. But this last 2 weeks, being away from church, it kind of has affected me. It affects you, and it just does. Let your spirit begin to take them spiritual naps. I didn't write it down what chapter of Proverbs it is in, but it's in Proverbs. It says, yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands and sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. One that traveleth, you can almost say, like one that walks these streets that's homeless, and a little sleep and a little sleep, they stay out there because it's easy. But Galatians, my goodness, Brother Gary, when you started talking about naps and sleep and stuff like that, I'm thinking like, okay, yeah, praise the Lord, yeah, because he was kind of confirming things. And I had a paper that was stapled in here, and it had this particular scripture, and it was from something I don't know where. But it had this particular scripture stapled inside of this folder that I have. And it says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. If we faint not, if we don't allow ourselves to drift away in the slumber, we will find ourselves that we will reap in due time. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes the battle becomes a little too much, but we got to finish the job that's been placed before us. You know, I tolerate work, I guess. I'm thankful that I can work, and because of, you know, I mean, face it, you know, at 59 years old, it's kind of tough. But I can still work. I can still make a living. But there's jobs that I get put into my hands, and my boss, when I don't have them done in the time and timely manner that the boss thinks that I should have, because this one comes in, that one comes in, and you know, you got a half a dozen things going on. But we have to finish. We have to finish. You know, my wife sang that song, I Love Him Too Much to Turn Back Now. We have to finish. We've got to finish this job that God's placed in our hands. No matter what comes and at us, we still have to finish. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, for the which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We need to stay awake and to take care of our godly business in our life. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and in the eternal weight of glory. While we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. If you want to look that up, it's in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse 16, starting at verse 16. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Brother Dave, it's okay. Just got holes in it. Just call it Swiss cheese, right? But it's just temporal. This house here on this earth is just temporal. But we have to press on. We have to press on in the things of God. Lord, help me. Help me to stand up and be the man of God. Help me to stand up and to do to finish my duty. I got a job that's been laid in my hands. You young man, you young lady, and you young people in this church, you've heard it before. You are the future of this church or some church. You got to finish your walk out. Don't take your naps I remember when I was a little kid. My mom used to look at me and say, "You need a nap." "Eh, I don't want no nap." And I'd cry because I was tired. But she said, "You need a nap." And I said, "Oh, I don't want one." Boy, if I could get one now, my goodness, I'd pay somebody $10 to keep people away from me for a couple hours. But I love naps. I do. I took one this afternoon. My wife on one end of the couch and me on the other end of the couch. What is it? We're entering in back into our second childhood, Sister Mona. What is that? We just need rest. We need physical rest. But we need spiritual rest also. But you can't fall asleep, but just lean back into the Lord and let Him rest. Just rest in the Lord. Don't rest in the world or the things of the world and the things that are in it, but rest in the Lord, because the world will draw things out of you, and it'll begin to suck you dry if you allow it to. God have mercy us today. Help us, Lord. But Proverbs in chapter 20 says this in verse 13, "Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread." Now, I'm coming to a point where that I'm not talking to you about the physical sleep. We all know that, and I've repeated myself a little bit, but I'm old. That's okay. So, anyways, we don't need that physical sleep as we need our physical sleep, but that spiritual sleep we need to watch. We need to be careful. Help us tonight, Lord. Slothfulness, chapter 19 of Proverbs in verse 15. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Oh, my Lord. An idle soul shall suffer hunger. If you don't allow yourself to let the Spirit of God deal with you and work with you, and if you don't walk in the things of God as you need to, and we are all tonight, I'm preaching to the choir, and that's who I want to preach to tonight, because that's we need the somebody to speak to us and to shake us. I was standing in there, and I was reading this, and I just had to shake myself, and just shake yourself and wake yourself up spiritually. If you're starting to take your ease, a little folding of the hands, you know, that's okay. Then Brother Gary can handle that. I seen your brother last week, and I felt awful. Felt awful. It hurt me because I wasn't there to help you. So, Lord, be merciful. Forgive me. Forgive me. Now, this next scripture kind of reminds me of some of the mainstream churches. And, or should I ask, is it me? Isaiah said this in chapter 56 and verse 10. "His watchmen are blind, and they are all ignorant, and they all are as dumb dogs, and they cannot bark, sleeping and lying down, loving to slumber." Now, if you got a guard dog that's mute, unless he comes up and grabs you by the hand in the middle of the night when a burglar gets in the house and starts to drag you out of the bed, then you're not going to know. I know when my dog wants to go to the bathroom, you know, he'll come to the side of the bed and he'll beat on the side of the bed with his paws. Goofy dog. But if we as the people of God are not, have came to the place where that we just would rather stretch out and sleep than to serve God, then we need to examine ourselves. Sister Frida, this is nothing to be with Mexican people or anything, okay? But it was just when we were in Mexico. Me and Brother Gary were walking down the street of El Fuerte. And there was this big old dog that was laying across the sidewalk. I mean, the sidewalk where that you shopped. I mean, this big dog was laying across the sidewalk, and we had to step over him, and his big head, he just kind of looked up at us, and his eyes was kind of glued together, and he just went, dropped his head back down, and went back sawing logs. You know, if we spiritually... I can still see that hound dog laying there, Brother Gary. But if we as the people of God are just laid out there and just taking our sleep and letting the world just go on by, you know, and say, as long as I take care of me and my four and no more, you know, and then, you know, everything will be fine. And if we see the world be passing by us and as they step over us and we look back up at them and kind of, oh, okay. It's just them. And we put our head back down and go to sleep. Thank you, Lord. Don't fall asleep on guard duty. I've never been in the military. How many people have been in the military? I know that you have, brother, and I know that Brother Joe has. Is there anybody else been in the military here? My cousin Gordon, he was in the army, and he was stationed in Germany, and they put him out on guard duty, and he almost went out. He almost dropped down to his knees because it was quiet out there. It was dark, and he was just standing there for hours, and he was got himself kind of backed in there and kind of warm, and as he got himself a little warm, he just kind of nodded off a little bit, and then he popped his head back up again. But don't fall asleep on guard duty. In Ezekiel, in chapter 33, and verse 7, it says, So thou, O son, I'm going to bring you to chapter 33, verses 7, and then verse 6, because they kind of flow better that way. So thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. But if the watchman see the sword and come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, and his blood will I require of the watchman's hand. God's speaking to us, and he's calling you out. You are the watchman. You're the one that are looking out for this world. We are standing on a hill, and we are on a guard duty, and we need to stand, and we need to warn those that are here and among us, all around us. God, help me. Lord, forgive me and help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord. But we as the people of God have to be the watchmen of this world. And if we don't take care of our duty, then it says that our blood will be required at the watchman's hand. The other guards will come and they'll arrest that man because he allowed somebody to get inside of the city. He allowed somebody to get inside of the city and to get in there and to damage or hurt somebody. You see somebody walking across the street or walking by you or just someone. It doesn't matter who, whether they're higher up in the food chain, so to speak, or they're a homeless man that smells so bad that it's very difficult to get near them. We need to speak. God, help us. Lord, help us with this garbage that's going on. Lord, help me. This next verse, I simply just used a springboard of saying, wake up, Cliff. Wake up. Speaking to myself. If I have not preached to anybody tonight, I am preaching to me. But I think it's pretty good preaching tonight. Let the Lord just have his way. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5, you are all of the children of light and the children of the day. And we are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. I remember years ago, Brother Joe had preached a message, Watchmen, what of the night? If someone cries out to you and says, Watchman, what of the night? What do you see out there? What can you say?
I don't know. I was asleep.
I'm afraid that might be my excuse. I didn't see anything. It was too dark. I was asleep. Cliff, stay awake. Don't allow the enemy to make things so peaceful and quiet around you that you just drop your head and nod off and you're gone. And, you know, my wife, she'll do this to me. And I'll say, honey, why didn't you wake me up? You know, I needed to get up at a certain time, but you were sleeping so good. Just, I didn't have the heart to wake you up. If somebody sees me sleeping spiritually, if you won't come over and jab me in the ribs and wake me up, then I'm telling you what, then my blood will be required of you in God's hands. Oh my. If you see me slipping and you see me falling away, and you don't say, hey, wake yourself up. I don't care how you got to do it. I can't say grab me by the hair of the head because that won't work. But you can just grab me by the nape of the neck and shake me like a little animal shakes a towel. I got a little dog and Lydia's made these little pillows for me and that dog carries him things everywhere and I have to tell him, put that thing down before you go outside. And I'll grab a hold of that little pillow and it's just a little pillow like that. And he'll walk around with them all the time like it's a baby. And I'll grab a hold of that thing and he'll shake his head and he'll hold on to it. And if you don't grab a hold of me and shake me like that, just shake me, wake me up. If you got to kick me, that's okay. I don't care. I might, why'd you do that for? Because you were all asleep. And if you'll do that for me, I'll do that for you too. I'll grab you by the nape of your neck and shake you a little bit and say, hey, wake up. You're slipping. Talk to me. Speak to me. I'll talk to you and I'll speak to you. I've got up here and I've preached to you all and I've probably said a lot of things and stepped on your toes and thought like, why? Like one time I heard somebody say, well, honey, are you mad at us? But that's our responsibility is to keep in check. Because iron sharpens iron. We are the people of God. And we need each other. But I ask you, watchmen, what of the night? What do you see? Do you see your brothers and sisters? Do you see where they're at? I'm not telling you, well, yeah, Don, you should. I'm just telling you this so you can pray. And I'm not telling you to do that and having a talk about this guy or that guy party. But I'm talking about you as an individual going and say, hey, brother, I love you. We have to restore one another in love. Don't fall asleep. Especially if I'm preaching, then I'm gonna feel like I'm drilling for oil. I'm boring. Ephesians says this, wherefore, in chapter 5, in verse 14, if you want to write it down, if you want to look it up, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. I remember when the Lord woke me up, when I was spiritually asleep and spiritually dead, God breathed the breath of life in me and he woke me up and he gave me strength and he gave me I want to live again attitude and he gave me that mindset to be able to go on for God. It's only by the hand of God that I'm still here today.
Thank you, Lord. In Romans, it says this, chapter 13 and verse 11, and that knowing that it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. Yes, Lord. Now is our salvation nearer than we believe. It is high time that we awake out of sleep. Going on in the 12th verse, and the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light and let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife, not in envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's what we need and have to do, is to not allow us to fulfill that lust of the flesh. Because you know what the flesh wants? If he could go asleep. He could just go asleep. Sometimes we deal with stuff and life kind of gets to us. And if we could just sleep through our problems, then you know, life is okay. But you don't sleep through the problems, physically sleep. And you can't spiritually sleep through problems. You can't just sit there and try to be in your cone of silence or whatever you think that you want to be in. You can't be there. You have to open up and let God break down that wall and that partition that the enemy has put there and close the door and made it quiet enough for you to spiritually fall asleep, and that your life it needs to be directed and brought to the point and place where that you're standing up and crying out, yes, God, help me. And as the blind man said, Jesus, thou son of David, help me. Help me. And they tried to quiet the man. Shush, be quiet. Don't you know that's the master? He's walking through here. Don't be out of order. But he grabbed the man's hand. I don't know they put his hand over his mouth, but I think that at that time they might have, because, you know, you don't have nobody checking in on that kind of stuff back then, because they were just a little bit more stringent. But as that man hollered out and they tried to hush him and make him be quiet, I could see this fella. I always see my face on the people that are yelling out for help. And I see this man grabbing the hand and pulling it down from his mouth and say, Jesus, thou son of David, help me. Heal me. Help me. So when we get awake, cry out, say, Jesus, 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 help me. Help me, Lord. Give me strength. Draw me out of the place that I'm in. Draw me out of the hardships that I'm feeling. Draw me out of that heartbreak and that difficult way that I'm in right now. I've dealt with a lot of things. My wife has told you I've had a little fender bender, she called it. I pulled up into a intersection, and I'm sitting waiting for this girl to go, and she goes like, come on, come on. And then, so I did. So I was going to turn and go, and then all of a sudden she was right there. I went to hit my brakes, and my pulled my foot off my gas. That way, I was halfway on the gas, halfway on the brake, and I just kissed her fender. And I have been feeling so stupid, and I've been wanting to just lay down and just close my eyes and not look and or see anybody else again. I've been feeling so down. But I know that God is still in control. That's just one of the things that the enemy will do. And he'll come in and he'll do things and he'll allow things and he'll put things in your path. And my goodness. And you'll want to just say, okay, that's it. I'm so through with this. I'm so done. And then you can go sit in your chair and you can sit there till you fall asleep and then just sleep on. Like Jesus spoke to his disciples. Well, you wouldn't watch and pray with me, but now it's over with, and so sleep on. Lord, don't let me get to that place. Don't let me get to that position in life where that you look at me and say, well, just sleep on then. Keep me awake spiritually. If it hadn't been for all my brothers and sisters in the Lord and the strength that I draw from you and what God has placed in my life, I never would have made it. But I have been given strength. And now we as the people of God, we as the watchmen of God, stay awake on guard duty, folks. Stay awake on your guard duty. Lord, have mercy. If you'll bow your heads with me. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, as we come before the throne, Lord, we thank you tonight. I give you, Lord Jesus, praise and honor. And I ask you, Lord Father God, have mercy on us tonight. Lord, give us strength and help us to be the people of God that you need us to be. And Lord, help us, Lord God, always to stay awake. Always to stay awake spiritually, Lord Father God. Even when we go to sleep physically, God, help us to be spiritually awake. I pray for my brother Dave, Lord Father God, and my brother Jason, Lord God, that you touch them brothers, Lord God, and Lord, that you just keep them. And Lord, that you just put a hedge of angels round about them, Lord Father God, with fiery swords, Lord Father God, and let them to be under that hand of protection in Jesus' name. We thank you for that tonight, Lord God. We honor you, Lord Father God. Help us, Lord Father God, to fight a good fight of faith. In Jesus' name tonight, I pray. And everybody said.